Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life. Yeah, the Money Show, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. Remember, we do this for you every evening at 7. Tonight, we'll talk about money. Growing it, keeping it, making more of it, retirement, 401ks, annuities, exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, stocks, pensions, you name it.
John in Gulfport, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Good evening, guys. Thanks for letting me get on here tonight. How y'all doing?
Great.
We're good.
Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, look, I just recently applied for a secured credit card at my local credit union back in August. And it's a secured credit line for $500. And I'm just trying to boost up my credit score so I can eventually get a house. So I was just wanting to know how this works because my credit union seems to not really know too much about it. So basically, with the $500 line of credit, I'm just trying to, you know, build up the numbers, stay underneath the minimum percentage. So I'm basically spending just like $50. My goal is just spend about $50 a month. Is it safe to pay off the whole balance of the $50 every month? Because I'm kind of getting mixed advice on that. And I'm just wanting to know if you can give me some clarification on it. Appreciate it.
Is this your only type of credit you've utilized?
I have a car note as well that I'm doing as well that's reflected on my credit score that boosted it up tremendously. So I'm just wanting this to kind of, you know, help.
Okay.
Add on.
So in the car loan, you're paying on time every month, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
You have any late pays out there?
No, sir.
Okay. This other line of credit will add to it, but I also think maybe one of the other major credit cards out there. The most important thing is about consistency of making payments. That's really what they're looking for, that you will make payments. I'm not the guru on your credit number, so to speak, and all that. James, both he and I know a pretty good bit about it because we hang around Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo fame. He's got the Saturday show that talks about mortgages and such, and you can reach out to him at mortgagegumbo.com, and he'll be a big help on that. Do you have any thoughts, James?
Yeah, once you have the card, the metrics that they use with your credit are pretty easy to understand. Number one, how much of your credit limit are you utilizing? You have to keep that below a number. And Dwayne knows these things off the top of his head. Once you get to like 30%, that like trips some sort of score. If you have it above 70%, if you're utilizing like 70% of all your open credit cards, that triggers another calculation in there. So you want to keep it low, and you want to keep it below something like 30%. Again, this is off the top of my head, and don't nail me to the wall with that. But so an easy way you can get that, you know, even a prettier number is get your credit limits raised on some of your credit cards once you have a little bit of payment history. The fastest way to get your score up is to pay down something huge. Get your total debt-to-income ratio down. So that takes all your income that you have plus all the money that you owe on a monthly tick. There's another ratio that they use there. Other than that, you got to start looking for disputing credit report errors, which is kind of unlikely and a pain and doesn't really seem to work too often. But really, there's very little substitute for just time, just getting as many of those good payments in as possible. If you have any ugly stuff, do you have any ugly stuff in your credit history?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, you're actually in a pretty good spot here. Usually, we would have to tell you you're just going to have to walk in a straight line for 3 years until some of this older stuff falls off. But you just got to start building. And it sounds like you're on your way. Sounds like you got some pretty good advice already and you're headed in the right direction. I wish I could just nail down some of these particulars like Dwayne does. But you have the right idea. You've got some pretty good advice so far.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. All right. If you want to be after John in Gulfport, 504-260-0995. The only huge mistake that I think maybe some people walk into in that situation is if they have credit card debt and they pay it all the way down and then they cancel that credit card, you lose that payment history. And if you do have that credit card going, don't cancel it. Even if it's sitting in your wallet and you haven't used it in a while, just use it every once in a while and keep paying it. Because when you cancel it, that just immediately falls off of your credit history and you lose the good credit history that you've been building up that whole time. So that's the only warning I think I would throw from what we've heard from Dwayne. All that sound pretty much in bounds there, Gregory?
That was good, James. We don't get too many of those calls. I know Dwayne gets a lot of those calls when he guests on our Saturday show as one of our regular contributors, though. But it's just really important to have consistency there. But I would reach out to Dwayne. The guy knows all the ins and outs of that stuff.
Yeah, and especially if you're doing so to end up buying a house, that's the guy you might want to have the conversation with. All right, I found a little sneaky something happening up there in the Northeast, Gregory, and this is something that does come up down here. That's what if you live in one state and then you cross a line and you work in another state, how do all the taxes like that work out? And because we cross the line between Louisiana and Mississippi all day, every day. We're on in both states every day. So it gets a little weirder between other neighbors because we get along with our neighbors great. But New Hampshire and Massachusetts are having a little fight right now. Massachusetts has a state income tax. Just a hair over 5%, 5.05%. New Hampshire does not. But New Hampshire is close enough that part of it touches the Boston metropolitan area. So there's a whole lot of people who live in New Hampshire and they commute into Massachusetts, into the greater Boston area and for their work. But since coronavirus happened, a lot of these people were told to stay home. So they've been working from home. And Massachusetts realized, wait, all these people that were just driving 20 minutes into our state working, we were clocking them for the income taxes that we're going to miss now. So they put forward an edict in April that was retroactive back to March saying, if you've been furloughed because of coronavirus and you are continuing to work from home from another state, you will still be charged income tax in Massachusetts. And we're about to find out if that sticks. I don't think it will. My goodness, I hope it doesn't. Because that's going to end up a whole lot of tax laws, you know, because like the jock tax where the guys try and live in Florida and then everywhere they go. It would just be weird because it'd be sort of the first time a state income tax crosses state lines. Is there any chance you see this sticking?
I am not going on a limb on that. They're all needing money. So what do you think?
I would never say 100% on something like this because I have no legal training and I've gotten so many of these predictions so wrong, but I am going to push my chips in at about 80 to 90% no. And a lot of that is because I don't want that to happen.
A bias in that opinion.
Yeah, and I'm at least self-aware of my bias and can hedge my bets accordingly. I wish I could say 100%, but courts surprise me on a regular basis. And the 10 years of this show is just riddled. It's a riddled record of me making bad predictions too. So if I live in Mississippi, but I work across the Pearl River in Louisiana, at what rate am I taxed? Am I taxed at the Mississippi rate or am I taxed at the Louisiana rate? We keep it simple down here. You're taxed wherever you work. That's it. Period. Point blank. End of story. If you got to go home to somewhere else, I don't care if you're driving 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's wherever you do the work. And that,
well, we're just going to see more and more of that. And some states are aggressive and they're going to chase you down for the money. They're going to make you prove that you didn't make it there.
Are they trying to be bad guys, though? Because you ever wonder, like, how the villains in the movies, like, where do you even get this inner dialogue? It's like, let's tax them even if they don't come into our state. How do they think that's politically positive? I guess they're only affecting people who can't vote them out of office.
Well, if you don't live in the state and they can get you to pay tax and you're annoyed, yeah, you weren't going to move back there anyhow, they figure. You're not living there, but
you can't vote against them. You live in New Hampshire, so
yeah.
Let's bilk these people instead of bilking the people here.
Commuting and making, you can live elsewhere, commute, you know, it's just if you do any type of work there, they're probably going to try to get that money.
All right, I'm going to ask you another impossible prediction question. There was a little back and forth about the stimulus package that may or may not have been happening since the beginning of August. And Nancy Pelosi says they want something between $1.8 trillion and $2.4 trillion. Mitch McConnell says, hey, we're ready to do this skinny stimulus of $500 billion. What do you think of the odds of something like this passes before Election Day?
You know, here I can see President Trump around the breakfast table, out behind the White House, the sun shining, it's nice weather, and he looks at him and smiles and says, "You're going to have to ask me nicely." After what all's been on and what's come out lately, you know, you're not pushing me around. I'm in charge here. I could just see it like in the movies.
Would they let something like that happen? Because some of the conventional wisdom I've seen is that people think that that would help Trump if the American people got wind of, oh, there's going to be another $1,200.
But what they're going to attach to him later and his presidency is the next thing. You know, when election comes up in 4 more years, it's going to be, yeah, those Republicans, look what they did to the national debt. We're over $30 trillion now, and it's their fault. You can see it coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's going to get it hung around their neck. Hey, I've got a number here for you. Besides the one to call and ask a question, if you have a financial situation you're not sure about, that number is 504-260-0995. The nation's general fertility rate, defined as the number of births per 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44. You seen that number lately, James?
I have no idea.
58.3 births in 2019, a record low for birth data that has been tracked since, get this, they tracked it since 1909. They're had somebody's running around with a notebook writing all this down because they didn't have Excel back then, you know.
Yeah,
they would. You wonder where we have all these computers and spreadsheets and we track everything and it's so awesome. And you think back, heck, 30 years ago, didn't track a darn thing. You know, it was so hard to get data. Imagine 1909.
Well, then again, we have the information from the 450 BC Roman census.
The census was a pretty neat tracking that was done. So I like looking on, what is it, Ancestry?
Yes.com.
Looking at the old, that was some good stuff out there. Okay, how about this topic? You know, we've got an election coming up in 2 weeks and a day. Finally, it's like, gosh, it's taken forever, just like it's taken forever for 2020 to end as well. Can the S&P 500 predict the presidential winner?
Okay.
Only one election in the last 40 years did the three-month returns leading up to the election not predict the winner. And here's what we're getting at. In 1980, 3 months before the election, the market was down 1.92%. The incumbent party was the Democratic Party. It lost. In 1984, and this is all based on 3 months before the election, the market was up 10.24%, and that was the Republicans, and they won. In 1988, they're up 2.55%. Republicans won. In 1992, the market was down minus 1.30%. The incumbent party was the Republicans, and they lost. 96, up 10.21%. The incumbent party was the Democrats, and they won. In 2000, it was a minus 0.10. Incumbent were Democrats, and they lost. 2004, 2.63% up. Republicans incumbents, they won.
Okay.
2008, you know, the Republicans, the market, yeah, they were incumbents and the market was off 23.6%. What happened?
That's usually bad for the incumbent.
Okay. Yeah, they lost. 2012, Democrats won. The market was up 2.39%. 2016, market was off 2.16%. We know what happened. Incumbents were Democrat and they won. In 2016. Is that right?
The incumbent was a Democrat and they lost. Trump won.
Yeah, and that's what's here in the article. It says, but it must have been an error, typo error there because they lost. That's what was getting me there. So the incumbents were Democrats and they lost minus 216. So we've got the market for 2020 up 5.74%. So going back to this, did I was just trying to see if this negative affected anybody there. So this is a pretty, you know, when you're going by this kind of stat right here, we don't know right here what's going to happen. That stats is up 5.74%. Republicans are the incumbent party.
Right. And so the close on August 5th, which would be 3 months before November 5th, was 3,327. And this is all by the S&P, right?
Yeah, just S&P 500.
All right, and we're at 3,426 now. We're about 200 points above that. So what was that, like 8%, 7% up?
Yeah, interesting there. So we'll see if that holds up, that three-month timeline. Then looking back at first year of each new presidency, I'm not going to go all the way back in time, but I'll go back to 1993. Well, I've covered this before, but there was two negative years since 1981. It was Reagan's first year was minus 5.33%. His second term, he was up 5.96% in the first year of his second term. The next negative was George W. Bush, minus 11.77%. Tough timing there for him on that. His second term, he was up 4.84%. The Clinton in 93, it was up 10.17. 1997, up 33.34%. Obama was up 26.34. And in 2013, 32.32%. And Trump was up 21.72%. What this really tells me and what I really wanted to get at this point is everybody, you know, I get somebody, oh, I'm worried. What's going to happen? You know, it's going to be fine. Whoever wins, you're going to get through it. It's going to be okay. And what it tells me historically is they're not in charge for a long time. It shifts about every 8 years. The other party gets in. So you know what? It's going to be okay for the Democrats. Hey, it's not looking good. I know what the polls say, but this isn't looking too good for you. Trump's up 5.74% 90 days out, right? Okay, from that, it's not looking good. Now you got the polls in that are saying something different. We'll see. But you know, what's the worst case? Democrats get in 4 years. That's what history tells us. And you know what? It's going to be okay.
We're going to make money either way.
And for the Trumpsters, if he doesn't get stay in, worst case, Republicans will be back in 8 more years. It's going to be fine. Things could be worse for those who are having a bad time with all this. We could have been born in 1920, pre-refrigeration.
Oh, my goodness. Don't even kid about that. I wouldn't make it. I couldn't make it.
Oh, I was talking with Stacy, my wife, about that earlier today. We were talking about things. I said, yeah, it could be really worse. We could have been born in like 1920.
Gregory, I am working on a topic for tomorrow's show about 1972.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it now.
No, don't spoil it. If you've got something going there, there's nowhere else I'm going with this. It was just being, look, when you, and my other side of that is just like, despite 2020, you know, some people could look at 08 like that, the bad market year, as a tough year as well. In 1968, you know, there was the Hong Kong flu that was pretty bad that year. But look at the time that we live in. We get to walk around with these phones and we stay in communication. We have air conditioning. We have electric cars. And you said, well, we had electric cars in 1900s. Well, not like the ones we have today. We have self-driving cars and
Xbox.
Yeah, it's just what computers have done for everything. It's just what a great time to be in. And I think you have more opportunity for success if you're wanting it now than ever. You can't go and say, well, you know, I didn't get anything out of school. I didn't learn that. I had no way to gain that knowledge. That's all BS. There is no limits that you can't let something like that hold you back. So let's talk about, we could have been born in a worse time or lived in a worse time of taxes. Think about this. The top marginal tax rate used in the payment of federal income taxes is, this is the top marginal tax rate for this year in 2020, is 37%. The top marginal tax rate was 70% in 1979. I hope that's not where you were going with 1972. Okay. In 1969, it was 77%, the top tax rate. 1963, you know what it was?
90.
91%. Yeah, things could have been worse for us. But hey, worst it's going to be right now is 37%. Means no matter how much you make, you're keeping most of your money.
All right, I got two calls. These are both quickies, and I can get them in this last segment.
Do
here.
It.
All right. Bruce, Denham Springs, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Bruce?
Okay, let me turn this up. It's hard to hear you. I got a question about my retirement or my Social Security. I was on Social Security disability. And when I hit 65, it went to regular Social Security and it was taxed. Is there any advantage or is there any way that I could get back on the disability?
When you turn 65, that was your full retirement age, right?
Right. I'm 70 now.
Yeah. I'm surprised you weren't taxed on the Social Security disability as well. However, when you turn 65, and this happens for everyone on Social Security disability, is when they turn to their full retirement age, according to Social Security, disability automatically kicks over to the Social Security retirement. It automatically does right. that, and it does it 100% of the time. So they moved you from the Social Security Disability Trust Fund to the Social Security Retirement Trust Fund. So there is no going back.
Okay, then. That's all I needed to know.
Awesome. And that's one thing about... Right.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. That's one thing about Social Security disability. They're, when you go on to Social Security disability, they're taking your work credits up to that point and converting them to... Which, if you stop working at that point... That's kind of putting in place in the future what your full retirement age benefit's going to be. So Social Security disability, when you turn that on, it's basically what they're utilizing is what your FRA number is, and that's what's starting at that point. So, you know, it's your best 35 years. So if you had, say, 25 years in at that point, they're going to plug in zeros for the rest of the way to give you your average of your best 35 years, and that's your FRA number. So that's how they come to that. That'd be it's the same thing as if you said, you know, after 25 years, I'm going to call it a day, and I'm turning on Social Security when I reach FRA in 10 years.
Right.
That's what your number is going to be. So disability has that same effect that it's based on your FRA number from that point forward. So when you see that happen, it's basically seamless that it converts to the retirement side of that trust fund when you reach full retirement age.
It's the rules for the taxation on that similar?
Most states do not tax Social Security disability benefits. There's 13 states that I know of that do. So most Americans rely on Social Security disability benefits for financial support. In the total income, including SSDI benefits, is higher than IRS thresholds, that amount over that limit is subject to federal tax. So I don't know what changed for him at that point, but it's included as taxable income.
Thank you very much to Bruce and Denham Springs. One more I want to play for you here. This is clever because Christopher calls in with what I thought was a silly workaround, but it turns out he was right. Gregory was right, and I was wrong. Christopher in Baton Rouge, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Christopher?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey there.
I have a mother that is living in California currently, and she's can no longer live there. The cost of living rent is outrageous. So she's moving here, and she is on my deceased father's Social Security, which amounts to about $1,600 a month and some change. I am wondering if there's a way that she can open up a Roth IRA.
You didn't speak of any earned income that she has.
Well, I think I have a workaround for that.
Okay.
Which she's going to do is going to give me a gift of $7,000, and then I'm going to hire her to cook and clean and whatever for $7,000 a year.
Okay, so you're going to do a Schedule C, and she's going to be taxed on self-employment income as well. What's her age, Christopher?
She's 65.
65. There's no other assets?
No other assets.
So what would be the benefit of doing this into taxes? And actually, what is the purpose of putting money into a Roth for her?
Well, it would be, well, she doesn't have any investments or savings to speak of. And for the purposes of, you know, when she does pass on, she'll have something to give to her heirs.
You know, we talked about this on the break. I was exploring the scenarios and I couldn't see where this works because she has to leave that money there for 5 years for the growth to come out tax free for that. It really doesn't benefit her. And if you're going to help her, why not just give her the money because it's tax free gifts? If you have your own business, you could contract her and pay her as a contract employee, and she's at a lot lower tax bracket than probably you, the business guy, and we didn't even explore whether you've got your own business or not. And
well, she doesn't even, she's on my father's Social Security.
Right.
My deceased father's Social Security, and she doesn't have any other source of income.
And then I came around to the other option is, well, if he's wanting to build up more qualified assets for the future, why not do that to then make it so she can put money into a Roth that she's going to leave to a beneficiary? Why would he do that? Well, maybe he can't do a Roth contribution because he's got qualified IRA accounts and can't do a backdoor Roth, or he's already maxing out everything, and this is another way to get $7,000 a year in, and you could be the Benny of that. And it sounds like actually what you said is one of the options is another way for her to grow money that she leaves behind.
Correct.
Because if you're going to just help her, you can just give her the money.
All right. Yeah. Anything else?
So that scenario will work.
Yeah. So are you self-employed or you have a business?
Yeah, I'm self-employed.
Okay. Yeah. You've got the opportunity to do that. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right. You're home away from the show, winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. If you need a financial advisor, start your search with gregoryricks.com or call Gregory's office, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, legal advice, or tax advice. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Information and opinions contained herein are provided by third parties and have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any governmental agency. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Get News Talk 99.5 WRNO FM New Orleans anywhere on our free iHeartRadio app.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks and Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks and Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.